All right, so we'll be back in Psalm 23. If you grabbed a handout, we're only going to be covering one verse, and so it's on the handout. But if you want to follow along in Scripture, you can. We'll recap verse 1, so then you'll have two verses to look at. But let's just look back at verse 1 for just a minute so that we can kind of just frame in our discussion tonight. Remember some of the things that we talked about last week. So, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is where we spent our time last week. And it's really, you know, if I had to put that in a sentence, what does that mean? What does that communicate? What is it? I would say this: I am in the care of a good shepherd, and as a result, I lack nothing. I am in the care of a good shepherd. And because of that, as a result of that, there's nothing else I need. There's nothing else I want. I have everything that I need. And what that means is that a lot of things, and Tony covered a lot of things last week. I just want to kind of hit the high points. But the reality is that we're in the care of someone else. That we're not our own shepherd. We're not in charge. We're not. Now, we try to be sometimes, but that's not the way God intended it to. It's not my kingdom, it's His kingdom. And we're submitting to and surrendering to His kingdom way. And so we talked about this idea of a statement of supply, that the shepherd supplies everything that we need, that we lack nothing. There was this statement of superiority, that He is the good shepherd, and that we don't want another shepherd. We want the shepherd that He is. We talked about a statement of self-control, which really is just a statement of contentment. Being content with what we've been given and what we've been given in Christ. A statement of security. Having confidence in our shepherd. Not confidence in ourselves, but confidence in our shepherd. And the reality is, and the point was made, that we need a shepherd. As much as we try to shepherd our own way, we desperately need a shepherd. As Tony was making that point last week, I was sitting in the back and I was just running through my head all these funny videos, and I'm like, because he made the point that we need a shepherd because, I mean, lots of reasons. Because we're vulnerable, because we're stubborn. Like, just think about sheep, and we're going to unpack this a little bit tonight, but let's just be honest. There are a lot of smart animals. Nobody's ever going talking about, when you think about a sheep, you don't think, man, brilliant. You just don't. And so I just started thinking about some things about sheep, and here, we'll just have a little fun.
What are you going to do, sheep? What are you going to do? What are you going to do, sheep?
How'd he get his head in that bag? I have no clue.
What are you going to do, sheep?
I mean, we get ourselves in some messes, don't we? Stuck. Oh, look, the good shepherd.
Умничка, за обе ноги. Молодец, я. Умничка. Все, операция удалась.
I think my favorite part of this video is all the sheep in the background. Like, just watch them. They're like, what do we do?
That's funny.
I mean, it seemed like a good idea at the time. Look, he's just walking away. I feel like that's the story of my life. Some of you who are in positions of leadership, if you're a D group leader, or you are a community group leader, or you're like, man, you invest all this time, and it's like, you just got out of the ditch. Like, and here we are again. But the point is guess what? Sheep aren't known for being smart. And sheep are known for being a lot of things, but they're not always known for being smart. And look, we can just have a little bit of fun if we want to just have a little bit of fun. So, I don't know, a month or two ago, we said, hey, Wednesday nights have just exploded, and we need to create some more space. And so if we put some rectangle tables in here, more people can fit in the room. And so we moved out the round tables on the back row, and we put in the rectangle tables, and people walked in. Like, the back row is the place that fills up first. It's the place that fills up first until there's rectangle tables. And then people walk in and are like, I don't know. I feel like maybe somebody's trying to trick me, or like, what's going on? Like, I literally for the first 3 weeks, back row completely empty. Why? Because we don't know what to do. I mean, we sit at round tables, right? But I mean, it's so funny how we have this nature within us. I mean, we knocked out all the walls over there in front of the kid zone. The first week that the walls weren't up, y'all waited twice as long for your kids. Why? Because you didn't know where to stand. I mean, it's so funny. We were talking yesterday about many of you, as you get into the next quarter of D group reading, you'll notice that in the reading that it's no longer listed as Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's day one, day two, day three, day four, day five. And the reason for that is because some of you are like, wait a minute, we meet on Wednesday. Okay? So if we start on Monday, then we're only going to have read 3 days. So just read Mondays on Thursday. I mean, but did you notice it was like, I don't know what to do, right? But there's this thing where we just legitimately like, and we're kind of poking fun, but the reality is like, we sometimes need to be reminded that we're sheep. It's very humbling, not just for, you know, poking fun in the room, but the reality is we all fall into that category. We're all sheep. And this is the thing that I thought about today. This is one of the things that I absolutely love, is that God doesn't shame your limitations. He shepherds you through them. See, it's not like he asks us to be something that we're not. I mean, the best thing we can do is be a good sheep, but we're still what? We're still, Nancy said dumb. We're still dumb. But we're still, my point is that we're still sheep. That God meets us in our weaknesses. He's not demanding something of us that we're incapable of giving or doing. Okay? And so we can kind of poke fun at ourselves, but the reality is that God knows that we're sheep. And he's not condemning or shaming our limitations. He's shepherding us through them. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. So the Christian life is one where Christ himself leads us into rest, satisfying and sustaining our souls. Okay? So if you look at that verse, this is what we see. That Christ... The Christian life is where Christ himself leads us into rest, satisfying and sustaining our souls. Not this restless striving. You know, I think that describes our world today. And the reality is that most people don't know how to rest anymore. So if you think about that statement that in Christ we find rest, that he's the one who satisfies and sustains our soul. The reality is that most people don't know how to rest anymore. We know how to stay busy. We know how to constantly be going and doing and achieving and pressing and all. We know how to do those things. We know how to be under constant stress or constant pressure or have to push through exhaustion because we're constantly going and can't ever catch our breath. But rest. I'm talking about real rest, soul rest. It's foreign to us. Psalm 46:10, where the psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God." But we have such a hard time resting. We have such a hard time knowing how to be still, being comfortable with being still. If you've noticed here recently, I don't know, in the last 3 to 6 months, Colby's really been pressing in on this, on us on Sunday mornings. And sometimes we'll come in and he's like, "Hey, like, we're constantly going 100 miles an hour in 100 different directions. And so let's just, before we get started, let's just stop. Let's just settle our hearts before God." I had to go get blood drawn on Monday. And it's just like, it's funny to me. Like, you walk into it, we don't know how to be still. Literally, like, okay, you used to wait in a doctor's office. You still wait, but you can't sit without pulling everybody in. Every single person in the room has their phone out, and they're just got their nose buried because we don't know how to just sit. We have to be constantly entertained. We have to be constantly going. We have to be going and doing something, or we have to be completely engaged in something if we're going to sit. When is the last time you just sat? One of the things that I've really been trying to do here recently is, man, my prayer time is the first however long, the beginning of my prayer is just sitting and being still with God. Just thinking about Him, just reflecting on Him, not asking for anything, not looking for, just sitting in His presence and being still, not for any other reason, just being still and knowing that He is God. We have a hard time with that, and we're constantly going. And it's not just, again, it's not just our calendars. It's not just our schedules that are full. Our minds are loud. We're always thinking. We're always working. We're always worrying. We're always looking around. The world is, everything that transpires in the world today is constantly in front of us 24/7. Always. There's never a time that it's not before us. And so we're constantly running and going and moving to the next thing. And so many of us, we feel like we have to be involved in everything. We have to be involved in everything. And if we're not involved, then somehow we're lesser than. If we're not involved, like, so we're missing out on something. And so we have our fingers and our hands on everything. Everything. And here's the paradox. This is the thing that's really, you know, one of the things that I just spent some time thinking about leading up to tonight, is the paradox is that we live in a time and a place that where we lack nothing. So think about verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There is nothing. Living in the United States of America at this moment in time, now some have more than others in the room, but there ain't nobody in the room that's lacking. We lack nothing. But yet we want. We want. We live in a world that is always wanting, always moving towards something, thinking that this is going to be it. This is going to be the thing that's going to satisfy my soul. This is the thing that's going to leave me not wanting. And we live in a time and a place where we have everything that we could ever hope for and everything that we could ever dream of, and yet we live in a time where people are most unsatisfied, most anxious, most worried, most unsettled, most unsatisfied, most discontent. And you want me to just keep going? That's the world we live in. And if we're not careful, here's why I'm spending so much time pressing into this before we really launch into tonight. If we're not careful, we just assimilate into the world's way of thinking and doing things. And if we're not careful, we're influenced in such a way that we find ourselves feeling the same way, moving in the same direction, doing the same things, wanting the same things, thinking that those things are going to do something that they were never intended to do. And it's just constantly, the world's constantly chasing, and yet it's never enough. And the danger is that we would just go along, that we would do what we see other people doing. And I think that we're rushing and racing along. And I think there are times for the Christians in the room, I think there are times when we are at such a frantic pace of life that, here's what I know, God does not get in a hurry. Right. Let me say that again. God does not get in a hurry, and yet we're frantically hurrying around. You think God's just trying to keep up with us? No. He is not trying to keep up with us. He is cruising along at his pace. And he's not going to speed up his pace for us. That's not how this works. What we need to do is we need to learn how to slow down and walk with God at his pace. See, the good shepherd doesn't change what he's doing according to how fast or slow. He's leading the way, and we are to walk with him. We are to follow him. Amen. Right? But so often, I think we're so just running and racing, and we're so far out ahead of our good shepherd, and then we wonder why we can't hear his voice. Right? And so it's important for us to just kind of stop. And I know this is true. There are not just a few people in this room, but there are many people in this room that are exhausted. Exhausted. And you need to hear what God has to say tonight. Because he says, I'll make you lie down in green pastures. I'll be your shepherd and you're not going to want. I'll lead you beside still waters. That doesn't sound like frantically hurrying around anywhere, does it? It does not. And so I feel like we probably should pay attention tonight. Because verse 2, it paints a different picture. It's not language of hurry or pressure or restlessness. It's none of those things. The picture that God paints in Psalm 23 is not the picture that, this is the picture I had in my mind. The picture of us today, see God paints it as making us lie down in green pastures, leading us beside still waters. How many of you have ever tried to hold a beach ball underwater? Some of y'all, like, you got kids, and you're like, you know what I mean? You grab the beach ball, and you're trying, and you can kind of keep it under, but you're constantly being moved, and you know what I mean? Like, and it to keep it under for any amount of time is utterly impossible. And then there comes that moment where you kind of keep it down, and you're trying to hide it from your kid, and then it just pops up and hits you right smack dab in the face. You can't keep it down, but I feel like that's more of a picture and an illustration of the world we live in, of many people in the church today, that it's not the picture that we see in Scripture of lying down in green pastures and walking beside still waters. It's a picture of trying to hold a beach ball under the water for any amount of time. And it's just a strain and a struggle, and it's just this constant thing where you can't ever get ahead. See, the language that we see here is of a sheep that has found complete rest and satisfaction in the shepherd. Not trying to hold a beach ball under the water. And so let's just unpack this. Let's unpack this one verse, and let's just talk about a few things from this verse. I do have a question before we get started, though. Any sheep herders in the room? Anybody, do you spend your day today out following the sheep, leading them to green pastures? Nobody's raising their hand. Your parents were sheep herders? No. Okay. We're at a little bit of a disadvantage here tonight, I'm just saying. Because that means that we know very little about sheep. We know that if they fall in a ditch, they're most likely going to fall back in the same ditch. We've learned that. We know that they like to swing. We've learned some things. There's so many more videos I could have pulled. I mean, there was a video of, like, he got himself wedged in a hole, like completely, I don't know how do what they do. But we don't really know a whole lot about sheep. So let's just talk about some things about sheep. What are some things that we need to know? Because the things that this psalm would have been given to in its original context, they wouldn't need explanation about sheep and shepherds. That's the world they lived in. Does that make sense? And so it's important for us to understand that, hey, we need to be informed on some things. And one of the main things we need to understand is that there's no way that a sheep is going to lie down in the grass unless there are some things that have been taken care of previously. There are some needs that are going to have to already have been met. Unless these things are settled, there's no chance the sheep are lying down. So sheep do lie down, but they only lie down under some, there's some things that have to take place in order for them to get to a place where they'll lay down. Okay? And so it's important for us to talk about. So we'll just pick them out one by one. Number one, when you think about he makes me lie down in green pastures, number one, a sheep who lies down is free from all fear. Free from all fear. See, a fearful sheep is not laying down. Once again, and Tony talked about this last week, but sheep are vulnerable. We need a shepherd. And so we really don't have a whole lot of defense mechanisms. We just don't. And so really there's, you know, sheep will butt heads with other sheep, which we'll get to in a minute. But really it's just run. It's just run. And you know what? All it takes is one sheep to run, and you know what all the other sheep do? They run. Do they need to know why they're running? They do not. They just know somebody's running, something really bad must have happened, something scary. And so they're taking off, and they're looking to the sheep next to them like, why are we running? And he's like, I don't know. He was running, I'm running, we're all running, right? Nobody knows what we're doing, but we're cruising in that direction. But sheep are super, they're super timid. They're easily panicked. They freak out at the drop of a dime. That sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? But that's what they do. And when one goes, it's a stampede. When one bolts, they all bolt. They're not waiting around to figure out, well, what is it that's got them so spooked? No, it must be something. We're all gone. And they take off. And the reason is because really there's little self-defense that they have. And so they'll run at the slightest suspicion of danger. But here's the question. You want to know what calms a sheep? You want to know what keeps a sheep from freaking out and panicking and running? What is it? See, if they can see their shepherd, they're less likely to freak out. When the shepherd's in proximity, when they can see the shepherd right there with them, they realize I don't have to fend for myself. I have a shepherd who's going to fend for me. And so seeing the master, the ultimate protector, puts sheep at ease like nothing else. I started thinking about the passage when right before David is about to go and face Goliath, and he goes to Saul and he starts to explain, number one, he's like, God's with me, so you know, God's with us, so there's nothing that can defeat us. But secondly, he starts talking about how he was a shepherd, and I started to think, man, what would it have been like to be his sheep? And that's essentially what we see. We see this protector mentality that David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. David's like, I'm going to protect and to care for my sheep. And so when you have a shepherd like that, then the sheep are automatically going to be feel calm and at peace and at rest whenever the shepherd is around. Make sense? That's 100% true. And so there's no substitute for knowing that the shepherd is nearby. And so what does Jesus tell us before he leaves? He says, go and make disciples. But what does he say at the end of that? He says what? I am with you always. I am with you always. That he's the good shepherd and he's with us. And so there's nothing like Christ's presence to dispel fear, panic, or terror of the unknown. And let's be honest. We bring a lot of panic on ourselves. We bring a lot of, like, we do that to ourselves. However, there are things that happen in life that are completely out of our control. That life is just uncertain. And at any moment, the phone can ring and our whole world can be turned upside down. The doctor can call. You know what I mean? Like, there's this, and so when our whole lives are turned up, or even just our whole lives don't even have to be turned upside down. Sometimes it's just the possibility of our lives being turned upside down. And then we freak out before we even have anything to freak out about. And so, but the point is that there's this worry that rises up in us. There's this panic that rises up in us. I'm not talking about made up scenarios. I'm talking about real life. And so here's my question for you tonight. And I'm talking about you sitting in your seat in your current stage of life, whatever it is that's going on in you and around you. Here's my question for you. What are you afraid of right now? What are you fearful of? And it's not a rhetorical question. I'm not looking for an answer, but I want you to think through that. What is it that has you anxious? What is it that keeps you up at night, that worries you? What are you dreading? What are you uncertain of? What's left you feeling vulnerable? What's left you feeling helpless? What's left you feeling out of control? Because you know, for a sheep, there's really very little that's in our control. Pretty much everything leaves us feeling low. So what is it? What is it? Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to just close your eyes right where you are. And I want you to just imagine the good shepherd that's with you. The good shepherd that's standing by your side. As you are in your vulnerable situation, whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you're afraid of, that he's right there by your side and he's looking at you and he's saying, I'm with you always. Psalm 4:8 says, I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Y'all are sheep, so I'm going to have to tell y'all to open your eyes. So go ahead and open your eyes. But here's my point. Sometimes we just need to stop and be still and remember who's with us and that with Him we dwell in safety. And when we take our eyes off of whatever it is that has us unsettled and we turn and we remember that our Good Shepherd is right here with us, that we don't have anything to be fearful of or afraid of, that whatever I'm vulnerable to, He is not vulnerable to. Whatever lion or bear that's going to come my way, He's going to go snatch it by the beard. Right? So it's good for us to remember that. It's good for us to be reminded of that. Okay, also, a sheep who lies down is free of tension or conflict. You may want to write conflict out next to that. Free of tension and conflict. I don't know about you, but when there's conflict for me, whenever there's conflict going on in me, around me, I'm in conflict or there's tension with me and somebody else, you know what Brian is not doing? Brian is not laying down. Brian, and you can ask my wife, Brian is, if me and my wife are talking about a situation, Brian is pacing around the house. Brian's doing donuts around the island in the kitchen. Like, I'm pacing, I'm talking, we're not, but my heart is not settled when there's conflict and when there's tension. And so, when there's conflict and tension, I'm not saying that we won't have conflict in our life, but I'm just saying that, and this will make sense here in a minute, like, we need to be very careful, and because what is he talking about? See, the first part is, you know, being fear, right? But we're talking about fear from the outside. I'm talking about conflict from the inside. I'm talking about tension in the family. Tension in the family. Because we all know that whenever you think about any animal system, there's always a pecking order for whatever system there is, right? And so, you know, we have bird feeders in our backyard, and we can sit on our back porch, and you know, like, they're just... birds know their place. And certain birds can just come in and wreak havoc. And when they want to get on the bird feeder, they get on the bird feeder. And you know what all the other birds do? They take a hike and they just kind of hang around and hopeful that that bird's going to leave. And then they're going to come in for a little bit. And maybe there's a smaller bird and the cardinal will come in like, I got my place. And then Blue Jay comes in and is like, nope. Because there's a pecking order. And some, if we're talking about birds or whatever it is, they are going to assert their dominance on those that are what they appear to be, feel are lesser than. That's true. Right? And it happens all the time. So with sheep, it's not a pecking order. It's what they call a butting order. It's a butting order because they don't, all they can do is just bang their head on each other. Like, that's all they can do. But whenever you got some cranky old you that decides that you're eating in the better spot, then what are they going to do? They're going to run them off from their spot. If you're lying down in a greener pasture than I feel like you need to be lying down in, then I'm going to come along and move you along. And there's this tension within the flock, and there's often tension within this flock. There is. When we lose sight of the shepherd, when we lose sight of the fact that we're family, but there's tension oftentimes. Conflict arises because there's rivalry, because there's jealousy, because there's competition. And when those things are present, you know what's not present? Rest and peace. It's not going to be there. There's not going to be any lying down because some people are being aggressive towards others and some people are having to defend themselves. And there's just this constant thing back and forth. And so jealousy and selfishness arises when people are more concerned about themselves than they are their shepherd and other people. And so it's what do we want? What is the way that we like it? How are we going to assert our will? And then we butt heads and quarrel. And you know what happens? People are hurt and wounded in the process. People are hurt and wounded in the process. So the secret, same as the first point, the secret is remembering that your shepherd is with you, that you have a shepherd. And it doesn't matter which side you're on. If you're the one inflicting pain or you're the one being harmed. Because the reality is that if you're the one inflicting pain now, it won't be long and you'll be the one that's being harmed. And then guess what? If you're the one that's being harmed, at some point you're going to inflict pain on somebody else. Like we're on both ends of the spectrum. We find ourselves in both categories at some point in time. But once again, awareness of the shepherd's presence will put an end to our foolish, selfish, and unnecessary rivalries. See, the same way that we're free of fear knowing that the shepherd is near. See, when we know that the shepherd is near, then all of a sudden now we realize how foolish we look when we're doing whatever it is that we're doing. Think about maybe you have kids, maybe you've been around kids, maybe you had kids. But you know this, when parents aren't around, kids are more prone to say and do things that they shouldn't say and do. Right? When there's supervision, I'm not saying just because there is supervision, they're not going to lose their mind. But they're more prone to lose their mind. Well, why? Especially older brother. Right? Because there's a pecking order. And as soon as he doesn't think the parents are around, then he's going to be the boss. And he's going to start treating them a certain way. And he's going to start bossing around, telling them what to do. And right? And then what happens the moment that a child is doing something or saying something that they know they shouldn't do or say to someone else? What happens when they realize mom or dad is in the room? Uh-oh. Immediately. I was just kidding. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean that. I was just joking. It was just a game. We were just playing. Mom, we were just playing. Why? Because mom's in the room and you realize, wait a minute, there's a greater authority than me that I have to answer to. And it changes the way I respond and react to the people around me. Guess what? We have a shepherd. He's in the room. And we need to stop and remember that. And here's the thing. Here's another thing that we need to remember. The Lord is your shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. If you're a child of God, the Lord is your shepherd. But all the other children of God sitting at your table, guess what? He's their shepherd too. And when you start inflicting pain on his sheep, see, we like to think about the Lord as my shepherd and what that means for me. But what about when you do something to one of his sheep? You don't think he's going to defend that sheep? We talked about this a couple years ago at the marriage retreat. And I talk about it whenever I do premarital counseling is, you know, we know God as a father. But when you get married, when I married my wife, God not only became my father, but my father-in-law. Because that's his baby girl. That's his baby girl. And he's going to care for his baby girl. He's going to care for me. But he's going to care for, and guess what? If you're his sheep, he's going to care for you. But guess what? He's going to care for the rest of his sheep as well. And it will be good for us to keep in mind that the shepherd is ever present. And that will help us to, man, it'll help us to just realize how ridiculous we're being most of the time. And how we're getting so worked up about things that we really don't have any business being worked up about. We do and say dumb things when we think that it ends with us. Right. But when we realize that it doesn't end with us, When we remember that we have a shepherd, that he's our ultimate authority, then we're no longer saying and doing what we want. We're not treating people however we want. That's not how it works. It's not how it works. And then just a couple other points before we move on is that, you know, it's good for us too, just on the receiving end and just some of the insecurities and things that we struggle with. And so just think of it like this, that when my eyes are on my master, they're not on the people or things around me. They're not on the people or things around me. See, we're set free. Having a good shepherd, we're set free from others, for what they might think of me, or what they might have, or what they might do, or how, like, all of a sudden we're set free from that because we have a good shepherd. We have a good shepherd. And then lastly, before we move on to the next point, is I think so oftentimes what happens is, and honestly, we could have spent the whole night here, but we're just going to, one more point, and we're going to move on. So oftentimes something happens. Somebody's feelings get hurt. Somebody gets wounded. Somebody does something. And then what happens is, and sometimes we don't, you're right, you're wrong, you're indifferent. Most of the time, everybody's wrong. Some on a more level than others, but most of the time, we all are wrong in the equation in some way, shape, or form. We bear some responsibility in what's taking place. But so oftentimes, what happens is something will happen, and then somebody will run around trying to defend themselves to everybody else. And so they know that maybe somebody is going around and saying things about them that's not true. And so what are they doing? Lying down in green pastures. That's what they're doing. That is not what they are doing. They're running around. Well, I bet they talked to so-and-so. I need to go have a conversation with so-and-so to make sure they know my side of the story. And I need to go over here to so-and-so. I saw them talking to so-and-so, so I need to go over here and bring this up to make sure that. And so we're constantly running around trying to put out fires. And what we need to remember and understand is that, and I'm not saying the pain isn't real. I'm not saying that the injustice isn't real. I'm just saying God is really, really good at defending his sheep and caring for his sheep. And it relieves us of this thing where we got to go around and constantly just be, it relieves us from that we can just settle and we can lay down in green pastures and be okay. We have a good shepherd. We have a good shepherd. All right. Next point is a sheep who lies down is free of hunger. Is free of hunger. And I might add to that, free from the fear of hunger. Sometimes it's not even the, you know, being free of hunger because we're satisfied, but the fear of hunger. You know, we've had many kids in foster care come through families in this church, and once they come to this place, that they really don't have to fear hunger. Everything they could ever want or need, they have access to. And yet what happens is those kids will take and hoard and hide food in their rooms and under their beds and in places. Why? They have food. They're not going to go hungry in the house. But why? It's a fear of hunger, right? And so it's not just we're free of hunger, but we're also free of the fear of hunger. In Palestine, where David wrote this psalm, green pastures, you know, don't think the rolling hills of Tennessee. Like, this is green pastures were not abundant. It was mostly very dry and very brown and very sunburned. That's what was going on around. So green pastures were not, it's not something that was abundant. And so they weren't everywhere. So in order to have a green pasture, somebody had to build and cultivate that, or you had to know where the green pastures were to take the sheep so that they could then graze and get what they needed so they weren't hungry. And so this was necessary for the sheep to not be hungry. And the reality is that a hungry sheep is always on the move, searching for something to satisfy its gnawing hunger. That's what's going on. So a hungry sheep is always restless. A hungry sheep is never satisfied. Only completely satisfied sheep can lie down in green pastures. That's the only way it works. And says that he leads me beside still water. So how is it that a sheep can lie down in green pastures and be led beside still waters? Well, what that means is that it's a sheep who is not hungry and is not fearful of being hungry and is not thirsty or fearful of being thirsty. Think of it like this. You've experienced both of these things. You have gone to the grocery store to go grocery shopping when you were absolutely starving, and you have gone to the grocery store to go grocery shopping when you were stuffed and couldn't eat another bite. See, when you're stuffed and you're like trying to walk through the grocery store and figure out what we're going to get, you're like, I don't care if I ever eat again. There's no way I'm thinking of what we're having for dinner tomorrow because I am so full right now, I can't even think. And so the point is that a sheep can lie down in green pastures when they're so completely satisfied. It's like, I don't even care. I don't care. I'm so satisfied in this moment. Now, the flip side of that is when someone, you haven't eaten anything and you go to the grocery store, you get yourself in all kinds of trouble. Multiple packs of Oreos are ended up in my shopping cart. Multiple tubs of ice cream are ended up in my shop. We can get ourselves in trouble, but you know what it's like to show up and you're completely satisfied and you don't care. It's you're completely and totally satisfied. See, it says that he leads us beside still waters. Listen to just a few verses for you. In John 4, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said to her, this is the woman at the well. He says, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, talking about the well. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. See, Christ made it clear that thirsty souls can only be satisfied in him. Can only be satisfied in him. So think of Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. John 7, Jesus says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. See, here's what I think is the problem. I think the problem is that we're far too easily satisfied with lesser things. See, we hunger and thirst, but we're too easily satisfied with other things, with lesser things, with cheap counterfeit things. That's what Jeremiah is talking about in Jeremiah 2. It says, this is God talking, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Essentially, instead of going to the living water, we're drinking from a mud puddle. Chandler was telling us yesterday they had gotten his dog Cooper. They had gotten one of those water bowls that you could put the bottle on it, and so like as they drink, it just continually. And it's like, you know, it's gold. Like you can just drink as much as you want. Water just continually fills up the bowl. Well, what did he do? He acted like a sheep is what he did. He was scared of that thing. He's like, I don't know what that is. I don't know what that does. So like days later, they realized the water's not going anywhere. And every time they let him out to go to the bathroom, he runs around the backside of the shed for some reason. Well, they go around to the backside of the shed and Chandler realizes he's literally drinking out of a mud puddle that's full of worms and all kind of bacteria and all kind of. When right here is a perfectly good bowl of water that just continues to fill itself over and over and over again. But that's what we do. Instead of going and being satisfied by the living water, we end up going and pursuing other things. It's thinking that, hey, I'm going to stop here. I'm going to drink this. This has got to be good. That we think we know what's best for us instead of going to the one who truly does know what's best for us. Only the shepherd knows where the still, clean, pure water is to be found that can truly satisfy his sheep. It's only him. And the rest is simply restless pursuit of every other cheap substitute that leaves us panting and wanting more, completely unsatisfied. So I just want to leave us with a few closing thoughts. I want us to just pay attention to just a few things in this one verse. One is, he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. See, we don't like that. We don't like to be made to do anything. But it says that he makes us. The shepherd makes us rest. He makes us rest. Sometimes, just hear me out. Sometimes it's not enough for sheep to be led to green pastures. We can be led to the green pasture. You got all this open space now. You can get your kids. You don't have to be standing on top of each other. And we still don't know what to do. We have to make them lie down. We have to tell them what to do. We have to, he says, he makes us lie down in green pastures. Like, I guess what I would say to that is that we live, like I mentioned when we began, we lived completely hurried, anxious, overcommitted lives. And sometimes God leads us into rest, and sometimes he lovingly makes us rest because we won't do it ourselves. Here's what you and I need to be reminded of. We have limits. Your shepherd does not have limits. You, however, you have limits. And when we're driving down the road and all the warning signs on the dash are flashing and beeping and making all kind of noise, we can either pay attention to the warning signs on the dash or we can refuse to listen. But we have limits. It's not going to keep going that way. That's not how it works. If we refuse to listen to the warning signs, he will make you slow down. And praise God for it. But he will make us slow down. Rest will come. And sometimes it's just acknowledging our limits. Sometimes it's acknowledging our inconveniences, our difficulties, whatever thing that causes us to stop in our tracks and make us lie down and be dependent upon God. He will do whatever it takes. And we don't listen to the leading, he will make us lie down. And then notice the shepherd's initiative here. So he makes us lie down in green pasture, but he leads. It's the shepherd that's initiating here. He's the one that takes the initiative. And so what we need to understand is that the sheep is not the hero in the story. The sheep is not the hero in the story. The shepherd is the hero. It's his provision and not ours. He's the hero. And it will benefit us enormously from regular reminders that we are the sheep and not the shepherd. We go about our lives acting like we're the ones who are shepherding. We go about our lives thinking we got it under control. We go about our lives we need to be reminded time and time and time again. We are the sheep. We are the sheep. We're not the shepherd. And so here's what I wonder. I wonder what you're in this, I spent a lot of time in prayer about this. Like, I wonder what your souls are like right now. And I'm not talking about your calendars. I'm not talking about your responsibilities. What are your souls like right now? Are your souls at rest? Are you lying down in green pastures? Is God leading you beside still waters? Are your souls restless, unsettled, like trying to keep a beach ball under the water? What are your soul? Because here's the reality is the good shepherd is the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He is who he says he is. So if our souls are restless, if our souls are anxious, is your soul constantly going, just constantly on, just going and going and going and never shuts down? I feel like some of you are so tired from being the shepherd, trying to be the shepherd. Just tired, exhausted, worn out, trying to carry a burden that you were never meant to carry, trying to find rest in places that can't sustain you. Can't sustain you. It's impossible. You weren't created to be the shepherd. And the reality is guess what? When we shepherd our own soul, you know what happens? We make a mess of things. We're just like that knuckleheaded sheep with the bag on his head. Somehow he thought, I'm going to stick my head in here. And then he ran into every single thing in the barn. That's us. That's a perfect picture of us shepherding our own lives. It is the perfect picture. I mean, it is for me. Maybe it's not for you, but that is the story of my life when I try to take control, when I try to fix things, when I try to shepherd myself. And so maybe the most spiritual thing that you could do here tonight is just stop. 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 Stop what? Stop striving in your own strength. Stop striving. Stop thinking you have to do everything in your own strength. Stop trying to figure out what's going to satisfy you apart from Christ. Stop going around and licking in mud holes. Stop lapping it up like it's when you have the one who will lead you by still waters. And so we just need to pause. We need to stop. We need to stop hurrying around frantically from one thing to the next. We need to slow down. We have said it 100 times and we will say it another 1,000 times. You have to be before you can do. You have to learn to be with God before you can learn to do anything for Him. And so we got to stop running around frantically trying to pursue things and trying to do this and feel like we have to do everything. Sometimes the greatest thing that we can do is just be with the good shepherd. Just be with the good shepherd. Just be with him. And then he sustains us, and then we can go and do the things that he's called us to do. Some of you need to stop trying to fix everything. It's not your problem to fix. Quit trying to fix everything. Quit trying to control everything. We're so panicked and fearful and freaking out whenever something is out of our control. And we're constantly just trying to figure out, how do we fix this? How do we rein it back in? How do we gain control in this situation? We have a good shepherd. Amen. We have a good shepherd. You're vulnerable. Yes. You're always going to be vulnerable. You're a sheep. You can't do anything, but the best you can do is just be a good sheep. Amen. You're always going to be vulnerable. That's part of it. And so we realize that we have a good shepherd that we can trust, that we can rely on, that there are things out of our control that he is fully capable of handling on our behalf. Fully capable. Fully capable. Stop and let the good shepherd lead you. Let him lead you. Just let him lead you. He knows, listen to me. He knows where the green pastures are. He knows where the still waters are. He knows how to bring your soul to a place of rest. The question isn't, can you handle your life? And the reality of that question is no, you can't. You can't handle it. But the question isn't, can you handle your life? The question is, will you trust your shepherd? That's the question. That's the question. See, the sheep experience everything that we've talked about tonight because they trust the shepherd. They trust the shepherd. Let me pray. God, thank you. Thank you for being our shepherd. We're so sorry when we don't see ourselves correctly. Thank you for the reminder tonight that we're not shepherds, we're sheep. That's what we are, we're sheep. Help us to be good sheep. Help us to follow you wherever you lead us. Help us to trust you. Help us to be reminded that you're with us. When things feel out of control, when we feel vulnerable, when we have a good shepherd and we look and we can see you and we know that you're ever present with us. Thank you for that reminder. God, we want to follow wherever you lead, however you lead. So help us to do that.